You'd completed your, you'd woke up, you'd done your chores, as it were, in the billet, you'd got dressed into your uniform. What happened after that?
Well, the majority, well, all of the people except one orderly used to go out on parade. But that one orderly, then, when everybody was out of the hut, so we must have had a bumper, when everybody was out of the hut, that orderly would get the bumper, go up the centre of the passage, because once a person had polished their space, they didn't go back in it because of foot marks. So when everybody was out, the bumper had to get the bumper from the top and start at the top with the newspapers. You bumper a bit, put the newspapers down, bumper a bit, newspapers, all the way down to the door. Then you would wait for the duty officer to come. And then when he came in the door, he would look around, yes, yes, yes. And then you would walk backwards, picking up the newspapers in front of him so that he could walk through and see that the floor was polished. So this would happen, and he'd go around looking at lockers and doing this bit and looking at the windows and all the rest of it. And not like the Americans with a white glove, by the way, but he'd have his, not adjutant, but whoever was with him, the sergeant probably. So that was all right, away we'd go, and then the orderly would go off and join the others on parade. So then we had to learn the left, right, left bit, and thought and all the rest of it in about turn. And to go through all the drilling. Now, I think I was at West Drayton for... joined up in April. Do you know, I got here 19th of April. Yes, enlisted. Oh, and I became 890-509 Iris Meredith, aircraft woman, second class. Wow. That's Iris Meredith then. Second class. So then we'd go on parade and do all the practice and this, that and the other. And then we had our marching out parade.
Wait, before we come to that, were the drill instructors men or women?
Men.
Yes. So we drilled by men?
Yes, yeah. But there were women there as well, yeah. Because actually, I don't know for sure when the Women's Auxiliary Air Force was actually incorporated, but I do know that there were some sergeants and corporal sergeants, etc., who were there as well, the women, and I was too shy to ask when the war was. Actually, I never found out. But yes, there were some of them, but I think it was men mostly. But there wasn't just our hut room. There was loads of others as well, and all the other huts as well, and did all the drilling, and then came our march.
The drilling you've talked about is left, right, and learning to march, and obviously that itself doesn't come easy to some people. And drill instructors, certainly men drill instructors, are renowned for their language from time to time. I was going to ask you how did they treat you as girls? You know,
stood there with their eyes raised to heaven and saying, "My God, what have we got here?"
But you didn't have the language that went with it.
No, the shouting in the face or anything like that. No. Oh dear. Yes, I remember that.
And what kind of period are we talking about? That you learnt your drills, your basic drill, which is what it was all, and probably the same as it was in the other forces. Mm-hmm. How long would that take?
April, May, June, must be 2 months.
And you, on a morning, you'd start, with, as you say, you went out on parade and they did a session of drill with
yes.
you. Did you have a break in the morning?
Lunch.
No, nothing between breakfast and lunch.
Yeah,
the lunchtime. And in the afternoon, what would happen to you then?
Physical exercises, I suppose. I really can't remember. All I can remember of that time is the drilling and the missing hut, having to keep it tidy and everything. And I remember there were cats. See that, tigers, absolutely enormous. They were feral, beautiful cats. I always remember them.
Why were they there? What were the cats doing then? Oh, to keep the rats down.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The So what time would your working day, as it were, end?
Probably the same as any working day of anybody's, because I knew there was a naffy. We used to go into the naffy, but we have our tea. So I suppose we had our tea about 5 o'clockish, and then it was finished, you know, and then you could go in the naffy and do what you like. But there was a lot of things to do, because there was a corporal in charge of the hut, and I suppose she had to give us a little bit of tea. In fact, she had to tell us how to do our buttons and shoes and things, and what should be done, and get these things. Ironing, washing, and all that kind of thing to do, you know, writing your letters, and just some sort of normal things girls would do. I don't remember if we were allowed to wear lipstick and makeup. We must have done. I didn't stop doing that, because I'm sure I always used to wear lipstick and makeup. It's very difficult to say, well, yes, we used to do this, because it wasn't yesterday. But I must just tell you about this morning parade. It was a passing out parade, and we were all lined up at the suite, waiting for our suits to be collected. Now, we knew there was a group captain coming round, and he was the only man in the RAF allowed to wear a beard, because he put a swastika on his chin. He'd been told he'd been captured by the Germans, but a swastika on his chin. And I believe this. So there I was at the salute, and I looked around to see where he was, and I realised everybody's arm was up here, and mine was down here. I was doing the Girl Guide salute instead of the rap salute. And I felt like no one. I thought, who's watching me? You know. And it was like during that part of the parade, I remember. And of course, we all had to march off, and away we went.
Before we come to that, can we have a look at the food situation? Because again, you're coming into a different situation. What would you get for breakfast?
Oh, just a normal breakfast, bacon and egg, and it was all so normal. It really was. I mean, we didn't have ration books. We didn't have to worry about food. We didn't have to worry about money. We didn't have to worry about anything. We just took everything as it came. And so it would be a just normal English breakfast.
And porridge? Would you get porridge?
Depends what. It was mostly porridge, I expect, because I'm sure in those days there weren't the cereals there are now. There could have been cornflakes, perhaps, but I really don't remember. I'm sure it was just porridge and bacon and egg.
And were you marched to the dining hall?
Yes, we marched everywhere. No. Yes.
And lunchtime, what?
Same thing.
Was that your main meal
yes,
in the day?
Yes, the main meal. And that was the same as you'd get at home. Well, a lot of people might not didn't have the same as I had at home, but to me it was just the same as you had at home.
Basic puddings, yeah.
Yeah.
And stews and beef and what have you.
Yes, good food, yes. Because I can't ever remember saying to myself, God, what are you eating? But no, it isn't. And weekends must have been our own, because I can remember going into West Drayton and when we got our pay, of course. And I don't know why it is. We didn't go into the shops to buy jewellery or clothing or anything like that. We didn't need to, you see. We had no need for that. So what did we do? Went into a cafe and had some food. and I can remember in this one particular cafe, the women were absolutely marvellous. Because maybe at the end of or halfway through the week, you'd spent your money. And I can remember me saying at the time, I'll just have a cup of tea. Would you like a cake? No, thank you. It's all right, dear. You can come and pay me next week. And this seemed to happen all the time. They still realised what we were going through. And it was so good. It really was marvellous wherever we went. But it seemed wherever, even all the time I was in the ranks, wherever I was, if we had time off to go into town, go wear it, and go and eat. We must have been on a short lapse or something. I don't think so, but it was just something that we did.
End of the day, did you have a tea, a high tea, or anything of that nature for food?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Remember,
you mentioned going off to the naffy, of course. And nothing for supper, cup of tea or what have you.
We used to get it in the naffy, and we would pay for that. Yes, naffy tea, famous.
And presumably most evenings you would be busy getting things cleaned up for the next day, uniform and badges and so forth.
There'd be a kit inspection as well, you see.
I was going to ask about kit inspection. How did they go? How were they organised?
Well, we always had to make our beds before a kit inspection, and then everything had to be laid out. Really everything that you had, button sticks, boot polish, right down to that, toothbrush, toothpaste, dowels, everything had to be laid out so that you could come along and see. Well, over the weeks, people would lose a brush, lose something or other, and we got very clever at making up people's kit that they hadn't got, because if you hadn't got it, you had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. Out of your own money. Oh dear. So we got very clever. When she was looking at somebody else's, we just took a brush out, you know, chuck a button stick. Nobody else was short. Always used to make up somebody's kit, because it was always finished.
I was going to ask you, were any stealing was there in your unit, in your billet? If someone missed a button stick, did they go and steal someone else's?
Because we used to make up each other's. Always did, in that particular hut anyway. We really did, we used to make up each other. Actually, see, to begin with, we didn't really lose anything, because we kept everything to ourselves. It was later on at other postings that we used to do that. But I do remember that nobody was ever short.
And the equipment was laid out in a very special way,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, all had to be sort of a skirt and, well, we'd have, you must have had two uniforms, surely. Just imagine. I can't remember having two uniforms. I know I did when I got my commission, but not when I was in the ranks. So how did we get them cleaned? I suppose we went on leave.
I was going to, did you have a hot iron, you know, where we ironed your own and
yes.
Put your own that was supplied.
Yes,
yeah.
In the washing, with the washing, but during the washing, of course. But yes, it all had to be laid out in particular ways, so that we had to learn how to do that.
You mentioned the corporal, who was a lady, that was in charge of your hut.
Yes.
And that was a lady.
Yes.
Which was obviously common sense. Yes. And she would be there for, presumably, for any help that you know.
Yes, and telling us how to. Iron your skirts, iron your shirts, how to polish your buttons, use your button stick, all that kind of thing, yes.
How
bad you had to be fat to polish that as well.
How were you addressed? I'm thinking in terms of someone did have to address you, one of the drill instructors, for example, did you were mentioned
probably
by name or what?
Yeah, probably by your surname. Mm-hmm. But amongst ourselves, it was always first name, of course. But yes, I think so. Because can I get on to payday?
Yes, beyond we'll deal with payday. Yes, we'll move on from the huts now. Yes.
Yeah. Payday. All march to the officer's office, and it was quite a big room because I know we were all in the. I think they did it by huts, and so we were all in the huts. And as your name was called out. It would be Meredith I, stand to attention, 890509, Meredith, I think I would say, Meredith I, 890509, no, I didn't say the whole thing, so 509 Meredith, that's right.
Last three.
Yeah, last three, 509 Meredith, you got your pay.
How much did they pay you in those days?
Can't remember, really don't remember, not at all. It was enough, I suppose, but you see, again, having earned a little money in the nursery home, because you wouldn't have a lot because everything was given, everything was supplied, and then with the children it was just pocket money, so I never ever got a large sum of money. In fact, I still don't know how to deal with money. Money's money, all right, it's there to use it.
Was it a period of just learning the drills? Did you do anything else in that initial period?
Well, no, it's really how to comport yourself, mm-hmm. how to get on with being in the forces, what you have to do. It's a different life. March everywhere, be smart, get on with your friends, go and get your meals, polish your badges, and all this kind of thing. It was just a question of induction.
If anyone slipped up at all, you know, for whatever reason, were punishments given out to them?
Oh, not punishments as such. I mean, if somebody was late on parade, or if somebody was late coming in at night, or if they burnt their uniform or anything like that, you were up in front of the officer, and you'd get punishments for that.
Do you know what?
So bad, be on jumpers and things.
I was going to say, do you know what kind of punishments you might get?
Oh, scrub the office floors, go in the kitchen, or do something, or they'd find something horrible for you to do. Don't peel the potatoes or something like that.
Did you get fatigues as a unit, you know, as a group? Did
no,
you get fatigues?
No, not like that, no. That wasn't part of induction. Not at West Drayton. And then you see, when we got posted elsewhere, then we had a job to do.
Yeah.
We had other people to do fatigues.
Your passing out parade, was band playing for you?
Can't remember. I don't think it was that posh. I think they were just wanting to get people infected and then away to work. So we had hygiene lessons. We were drilled, we were lectured, and we had hygiene lessons. And when I'm doing my talk, I always tell people about this because really it's quite funny. With the hygiene lessons, I would say to them, do you remember the original deodorant called Odoromo? A play on words, Odoromo it's called. It was a little bottle about this size. What would that be, about 2 or 3 inches? When you take the top off, attached to the cap was a little stick, and on the end of the stick was a sponge, and you dipped your sponge into the pink mixture, put it under one arm, you put it under the other arm, and then you had to hold your arms out straight because it used to rot your shirts later. I was telling that, and it really did. It used to rot your shirts, but it worked. It did what it was supposed to do, but you did have to wait for it to dry. So that always gets a good laugh, which is rather nice.
What kind of lectures did they give you?
Well, hygiene, very important. RAF history, deportment, courtesy. Some of us knew, some of us didn't, so it was for everybody, which was all right. Anything else that they wanted to inform you about the RAF, in particular, ranks in the RAF, who to salute, who not to salute, who to kowtow to, who to not to.
Because you're a new unit. I mean, ladies in the RAF, you have no tradition to other than the overall tradition of the RAF.
Yes.
And this was virgin ground in that sense, mm-hmm. that you were learning
yes.
for others to follow.
Mm-hmm. So when all that was over, we then were marched off to wherever, and one at a time, we go up to this desk. What would you like to do in the RAF? You'd be young and patriotic, I said, anything you like, anywhere I am needed. Because in my mind, I was going to win this war personally, single-handed if needed. I was that patriotic. So I was given the job of mending barrage balloons up in Glasgow. I thought, how romantic.
So after this period of training, you moved up to
Bishopbriggs
in Glasgow.
Yes.
What was it like up there? Let's start again with the accommodation and the language.
It was a huge camp, 18 Balloon Centre, it was called, Bishopbriggs, just outside Bishopbriggs, which is a few miles from Glasgow. It was enormous, all wire netting all the way around. Again, into Nissen huts, which had been built for men. So there were, I think there were about 16 beds in that one, I'm sure there were 8 on each side. And at the end, there was, on the right, there was wash basins and 2 toilets, all in the same room. And there were bathrooms as well. And so it was very, there were toilets other places, there must have been, I think. Because I know to begin with, we all had to sit there and do the necessary while people were watching as well. But do they really do this? They must have done, because that's how it was built. Still had to polish our buttons and shoes, polish the floor, clean the place, all that kind of thing. There were bathrooms, we could have a bathroom that we liked. There was a laundry room for the washing, ironing. And an enormous, oh, shall I tell you that now? Or shall I tell it you later? I'll tell it you now. An enormous sack. It wasn't a box, it was an enormous sack of sanitary towels. Just help yourself. And I'll just add this little bit in case I forget. When we moved quarters, the quarters made for women in mind, the men told us that those sanitary towels made excellent floor polishes. You always get to be left. That was a fun bit.
So essentially the routine was more or less the same
yes.
as you've come through, but now you're now on an action type of thing, that you've got work
We've
a specific
got work to
time
to do.
And you'd have to be trained for that, presumably, now. You'd have to go into a training situation.
Well, training situation, in that the situation was already there, and we went in and we were there to do the job. But at the beginning, of course, the men were doing it. And to begin with, they had to tell us how to do this, that and the other. And we became very proficient. We really did.
Can you take me through it step by step from the, you know, you turned up wherever you had to go, and the men were there, and you're going into this situation. What were you doing? What were they teaching you to do?
For the balloons. Well, first of all, the balloon had to be blown up. They came in big sacks from all over Scotland. They came in these huge sacks. So the balloon was all obviously rolled up into these containers. Take them out, unroll it. All had to be unrolled in this big warehouse. Hangar. Then the pumps. I either did it inside. You could do it inside and outside. If it was windy, you couldn't do it outside. It was dangerous. Either. Wherever it was, had to be blown up with a pump, full blow, and then the vent, it was really quite big, it was big enough for us to get inside. So that was closed, of course, when they blown it up, opened it up, and then two of us had to go inside in the dark, and there was two outside, and we'd start from one end of the balloon, looking all over for holes. Going up all the side. The holes were made by the weather, by the birds, all sorts of things that were sent in to us because it was leaking. Go along all the side and find a hole and press it so the person outside could see where it was, and put a chalk mark around it, both sides, all the way up. And then you'd walk and roll it over, and then you'd do the next bit, and roll it over and do the next bit, and then you come back and then you do that side, and do all the next bit right from top to toe. Not the stabilizers, this is just inside the balloon itself. And then you get all your gear, go outside, get all your gear, take a lamp in with you, so that you could cover the holes well like a bicycle tire. Put them inside and outside, cover up the holes. If there were tears, they had to be sewn on, set the tears sewn up, and then patches put on. And do that all over inside, and then the sergeant or whoever had to come inside and make sure that it was all done. Then you go into the stabilisers, and although they look pretty big in the sky, inside they were pretty small. Inside the balloon you could stand up, of course, but in the stabilisers you couldn't. You had to crawl in on your tummy. And as you know, they were semicircular on the side of the balloon, so you had to go all the way around looking for holes, tears, anything like that. And then that wasn't the end of it. You then had to go around all the ropes, the guy ropes, and see if they were still all right, if they were warm or anything, they had to come off. So that's when we learned how to splice ropes, because we had to do the splicing as well with the ropes, because there obviously had to be ropes outside for anchoring, and also had to be pulled out for us anyway. We needed the ropes, the handy ropes, to pull them down to do the patching. And believe me, sometimes when you just hit your finger, because it used to hit your finger like that, you get bruised fingers, it was windy. You were just stretching up to get the handle, and the balloon would come over to you, and it's not lightweight, and our fingers used to get bruised, just remember that. And so then you had to splice the ropes, put them on canvas, there had to be the special glue stuff, had to be put on canvas, and then stuck to the balloon on with a special glue. New ropes, not always, just if they needed them. And then of course there were the ropes that the crew people had to use to pull it down. I don't know what how it worked. I mean, I wasn't on the balloon site as such. We were just repairers. Needed these long ropes to pull them down, particularly if they were having to deflate them to send off the repair. And then when that was done, then you had to let all the air out. And I don't know how many of us there were, but we'd sort of all stand up together and start from one and literally walk along to get the air out till it was all out, because you can't roll it up the left of the end, of course. And you roll it all up, stabilizers as well, and you got so used to it. I mean, our muscles, wow. And then pack it all up in a certain way to put it back into the canvas bag and send it off where it came from. But it was... I mean, this all had to be learned. It didn't all do it in one day. And I can't tell you how long. It depended on the person, whether they were quick learning or not, as to how long it took for you to learn. And it was all right. It was routine work, and we all got on well together and had good fun. The blokes used to laugh at us because we were weak young women. We showed them that, I couldn't tell you.
You'd have a lot of this chauvinism, hadn't you, to put up with in the early days?
Yeah. Well, early days, perhaps. But it was all... It wasn't bad, you know. I mean, you got used to it and you just took it. And once you started laughing at them, and that was what they wanted. They wanted a little bit of laughter from the girls. Not sort of bad temper. So you just went along with it. And we all got on so well together. We really did. I mean, working as a team, you see. And if you fell out with people, I mean, if you were that way inclined, it could be a problem. But no, it wasn't. It was good.
And was it very largely a WAF camp, this?
No, there were men there as well. Because the men actually, when the balloons came in, they still had to be rolled up from us. But then outside the camp, there was an enormous, huge hangar, and they had to go up there to be repainted. And the paint that was used on the balloons, we didn't paint them. It wasn't our job anyway, because I mean, the men, it was more dangerous. But because we were involved with the balloons, the paint was still on the balloons, and because of that, we all had to drink a pint of milk a day. Every day we had a pint of milk.
And what was that? What was the point
because
of doing that?
The fumes coming off
the fumes of the paint.
Of the paint. Because you could smell it. There's a particular smell. You could smell it all the time. So we were all, even the men, everybody had to have this pint of milk a day. Because we broke off for lunch and tea. And of course, there was a naffy. And we used to all gather in the naffy at the end of the day. We'd have concerts. MC used to come up. Gracie Fields, Tommy Trindle, and all the rest. We used to have concerts. A dance every Saturday night. Boyfriends, girlfriends. It really was.
So making relationships, obviously, they occur. What about the local people? How did they receive you?
Well, we weren't local. In that the Bloom Centre was away from bitter groups. It was a place on its own. It really was. There weren't any shops or anything outside. If you wanted to go to Bishop Bridge, you had to get the bus. That's how far away it was.
And you didn't do that very often, did you, to go into the village or town?
As possible. Yes.
And the people when you did that, the civilian people, as it were, how did they receive?
They just took us for granted, I think, because I know we took them for granted. There was a pub called the Crow Inn, and when we had our pay, we used to go there and have a drink. What do you think? I mean, when I first joined up, we got 7 shillings a week, 35 pence. And then when I got to aircraft in the first class, wow, we got 14 shillings a week. And then there was a leading aircraft woman, it's all written down here somewhere. Here we are, leading aircraft woman. That was in July 1941. So I was up there for 2 years. And then I was remustered to a balloon rigger fabric worker. Wow. But 7 shillings a week, you know. And we used to go into the Crow Inn and have a drink. You'd go to the cinema, get fish and chips. Or sometimes the Church of Scotland. They were amazing. The Church of Scotland were all over the world. They had their little cafe there. And we used to go in there and have something to eat. It was all lovely Scottish eating. You know, it's the first time I'd eaten baps or Scottish pancakes and things like that, and it was all there. It was only about a penny each or something like that. It must have been 7 shillings a week, or 14 shillings as I went up to that.